This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop. Because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Back to two guys who would by now be recognized as common law married in at least 8 states, John and Lance, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, they changed the rule. Current rules see any major winner exempt for 5 years for all 4 tournaments. Masters winners are exempt forever but they also put a limit on. They don't want you playing in your 60s, late 60s at Augusta. They ask, please, although you can, but they ask that you please not continue to play into your late 60s. But now, it used to be it was a 10-year exemption if you won at the Open Championship or the British Open, whichever you want to call it. And you don't like people saying British Open. That offends you, right?
It's the Open Championship of Great Britain.
It's the Open Championship. It's not of Great Britain or any of that.
Well, I was just in England. That's what we said.
Right. No, that's not what they said.
Well, I flew out.
Right now,
of there.
It's just a 5-year exemption if you at any of the championships, any of the majors that you win.
So. One of the negative things about international players, and I hope I don't come off as xenophobic here, but immediately here comes a player from France, in Victor Wembanyama, and immediately they're slapping American icons, their security details. Are slapping American icons. You know, you can't just come to this country and have people slap an American icon. Britney Spears, yes, she is an American icon. There's some baggage that comes with it. There's some baggage. Watch out now, South Louisiana now. You better be careful.
No, she's
talking about the people.
She's a little trash.
Talking about the people. Careful.
She likes to pose.
Okay, I'm going to ask you questions.
She likes to take pictures naked now. And
I'm going to ask you questions. See how much you have in common with Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Have you spent time in South Louisiana?
A lot, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever shaved your head?
No.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I tried to put more hair on there.
Okay. Have you ever posed naked on Instagram?
No, not really.
Multiple times?
No, never. I've never done that. So I've got one thing in common. We spent some time in South Louisiana. That's it.
Did anyone ever try to take complete control of your money?
Yes.
Okay. There's another
thing. Actually, that has happened.
There's another thing. Have you had
now
way...
I try to take complete control of hers.
Have you had...
and I can't. Don't get any.
Have you had time where you drank way, way too much?
Yes.
Did you ever dry out over a period of time?
Yes, Lent. Every year.
You and Brittany have more in common than you think. There's some things
the
that
naked
aren't the
thing
same.
And the
There's
Instagram.
Not all the same. Did you ever have a top hit?
Never.
Did you ever have a bunch of teenage boys and
no.
Gen
the
Xers
no
and millennials? You know, were they ever going after you?
No, what?
Did you ever post thirst trap pictures on your Instagram?
No. I've never had
or
teenage
on Twitter?
Boys coming after me, period. No.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what, yeah. So you, there's some things.
So for those of you who don't know, Victor Wembanyama's, his security, he's director of security for the Spurs. And Victor Wembanyama was in Vegas and he was coming out, or he was leaving a casino and Britney Spears was coming in. And apparently she tried to get a picture with him and the security guard slapped her in the face.
That's her accounting.
That's her account.
Yeah.
Now,
and she filed a report.
Yeah.
Battery
and
report
and the cop said, yeah, no. There's no criminal activity.
It may have been accurate. I don't know if they have. Is there proof? Like,
It was. I think it was in a casino or just outside.
It was in a casino.
Yeah. So there should be some kind of video. And actually, the video has been seen. And somebody said they were just pushing her away, and he pushed her face, something to that effect. Anyway, Brittany, stop being a fanboy. Brittany, you're a big star.
Well, that's why she wanted a picture with him. Like, she's Britney Spears. She can do it. You should get slapped in the face. No, but she shouldn't get slapped.
All right, who's a bigger star now, Victor or Britney Spears? No,
Britney's still a bigger star than Victor Wembanyama.
I'm not sure about that. What was the last thing?
Let me put it this way. If they went to Lafayette and...
Victor Wembanyama wins.
You think?
Bigger crowd, yeah.
No. No way.
Yeah.
If they went to the fair in Lafayette somewhere...
What?
More people would come to pay tickets to see Britney than... I don't even know if that's accurate.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't know. Here's Victor Wembanyama's account of what happened.
What happened last night is I saw the news, obviously, this morning. I woke up to a couple of phone calls. And there was something did happen a little bit when I was walking with some security of the team to some restaurant. We were in a hall. There was a lot of people, so people calling me, obviously. And there was one person who was calling me, but we talked before with the security. Don't stop because it's gonna make a crowd. So I couldn't stop. So that person was calling me, sir, and that person grabbed me from behind. So I didn't see what happened because I was walking straight, and we told don't stop. But that person grabbed me from behind, not on my shoulder. She grabbed me from behind, and so I just know that the security pushed her away. I don't know with how much force though, but security pushed her away. And I didn't stop to look, so I kept walking and enjoyed a nice dinner. that was fun with you guys.
All right, proof.
I didn't say anything.
Proof that he's a bigger star.
Hold on. Tell us what else we have, RJ.
What is this?
Tell us, set us up here.
So the second part, the media asked him, like, when did he know that it was Brittany who got slapped?
Okay. Well, allegedly.
So, actually, I didn't know for a couple hours. But when I came back to the hotel, I had forgotten about this event. But I didn't forget about this. But I thought it was no big deal. And the security of this place told me it was a Britney Spears. So I was like, no, you're joking. But yeah, turns out it was Britney Spears. And I didn't know because I didn't see her. I never saw her face. I just kept walking straight, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't know who she was, and the security guard just pushed her away.
Well,
how I know he's a bigger star? He's got security, and she's trying to grab him for a picture.
And she's playing slots.
Yeah. Yeah, and nobody cares.
You think she had, like, one of the women playing slots has a cigarette right there, and she's got cocktails, and... You think that's what Britney was?
Yeah.
Don't be so disrespectful to Britney Spears.
I mean,
she just wanted a picture, and then she got backhanded. She got backhanded across the face.
She's a fangirl now.
But he didn't even see, though.
He didn't know who she was. He's walking, and she's trying to grab him. I'm Britney Spears. Take a picture with me.
You're a fanboy, too.
Oh.
Bielak. Oh. Yiner Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah. Fanboy.
See?
But
it's the same.
Listen, if Fred Van Vliet was in here, we would take a picture.
Yeah, we take pictures with, what are you talking about? And no one slapped you for taking a picture with Clay Hensley or taking a picture with Ryan Presley. You didn't get slapped. Don't you like being treated with respect?
If Fred Van Vliet was in the other room, I wouldn't walk over there for a picture.
Did more people know you or Ryan Presley in 1997 or 1999? Remember now, you had a lot of Astros pregame and postgame show stuff. Okay? But now, it's the same thing. Britney Spears, more people knew Britney Spears. Do you deserve to be slapped?
Did I scream?
In 2023, did you deserve to have Ryan Presley's people slap you? No.
I didn't.
No one slapped you across the face.
Well, I didn't really try to stop him for a picture. We walked around from the desk.
Excuse me, Clay Hensley, excuse me, slap.
Did we take a picture with Clay Hensley?
I don't know if we did. I think. You know who more people know now than you? Vanessa Richardson. Has she ever had anyone slap you? I heard Vanessa Richardson,
she was
formerly of the Paul Gallant and Vanessa show,
right.
That's what
she
I
was
call
on
it.
ESPN National.
Yeah, she was doing a radio show the other day on ESPN National, and good she does her. Obviously all the Texan, I mean the Astros and
Rocket stuff. Though,
she's a sideline reporter.
Yeah,
and is she now? Does she get to have somebody slap you across the face if you talk to her?
Yes, if I try come up from behind and try to grab her to take a picture, yes, someone should slap me.
So I know who. Absolutely. I know who John wants to slap.
Huh?
I know who John wants to slap.
Who?
The guy at the red light.
Remember the guy that went through?
The what?
And hit you and T-boned you?
Oh, yeah. That guy want to slap. That guy.
Yeah, but that's
oh,
not...
I finally got my check. It's been how long? Mm-hmm. It was in January or February. I finally got my check for that damn thing.
Did you?
Yeah. But
January or February? We're in July.
I know. I finally got it. It took
from
email
insurance?
After email after email. And, actually... This woman who works there, I'm going to text her and email her and tell her thank you for her service. Thank you for your service.
Let me ask you, do you want Wembanyama to fail?
Kind of.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because of the Britney thing?
A little bit. No!
Because he had Britney
slapped? No, because
Britney
he's
slapped.
A spur. That's
oh, I
why
thought,
I want
I thought
him.
Maybe it's because he had Britney slapped.
No, and he didn't want to come to Houston. That's why.
Yeah.
Screw
that
him.
Thing, like, I kind of want to see Wembanyama be great just from a basketball standpoint.
Yeah.
But then I don't. You know, the spur thing is, there is no such thing as divisions in basketball. We can pretend like there are. There aren't really divisions in basketball anymore. It's the playoff line. We all know it's table. It's the same as soccer, which, by the way, when we come back, Adam Silver, so all the details have come out about the in-game tournament. It's going to start this year in basketball. We're going to have an in-season, not in-game, but an in-season basketball tournament.
And it'll be interesting to see. And there's some interesting points to it, too. Whether or not how stupid it is, I heard Jake and Cody yesterday talking about it. That's one of the worst sports ideas ever. But we will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, you need to talk about your patio.
Well, so Texas Custom Patios, the addition, I had an outdoor patio built in 2016 and had a lot of great times out there on it already. But the times have really, we finished up the outdoor kitchen just in time for the heat of summer. But that hasn't stopped me from being out there and grilling and barbecuing burgers, steaks, bacon-wrapped quail. I have had the flank steak. I've had potatoes that I did out there. A lot of times the grill, you can do a really good pizza as well on a grill, especially if you get one from Texas Custom Patios. They can get you grills. They can do pizza ovens. They can do a lot of different things out there. But what I'm talking about is turning your backyard into an oasis where you love spending time. And yeah, you can get heaters out there. You can have your fans set up to where they really blow hard and you can get the cooling that you want. But, you know, having a swimming pool out there, having that grill, having a cooktop, having warmers and refrigerators, your big TV, your sound system, it creates opportunities for memories. Memories by yourself, with your friends, a fantasy draft over there. You can have, family come over for Easter and do dinner outside on your table. There's so much that you can do with an outdoor space from Texas Custom Patios, and they build it the right way. Exceptional quality. TexasCustomPatios.com. They're going to add a lot of value to your home when it comes time to sell, and a lot of value to your life while you're living it there in the home. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Get back to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. More importantly, let's get back to the guy who does all the actual heavy lifting on this show, RJ. Hang in there, brother. Everybody listening knows who's the real hero here. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's RJ and these two guys.
All right, 817 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on and anything that we've talked about so far, you're more than welcome. Maybe Willie is right a little bit. Every time they lose, I'm blaming Maldonado. It just seems like he's up in every... This is true. Jackie said this. He says, every time you've got a weak fielder, the ball always seems to find him. Isn't it? Isn't that always the case?
That is true.
The ball always seems to find him. And Maldonado, he's the offensive same thing in that every time it's a big game situation.
It feels like
it,
at least.
He's up every time there are men on base.
It feels like it. And it's felt like that for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a new thing.
No. So it just seems like, and it happened in the second inning where you had two outs, and Maldonado.
Honestly, if this wasn't a guy that we had some, I don't even know if I'm saying we, because I don't know that there's a lot of people fighting for Maldonado. I think if you had, right now, if you were able to pull every Astro fan, I think it would come in the 70s for Diaz. I honestly do. I think it would come in, best case scenario for Maldonado, it'd be like 68-32 Diaz. Astros fans who watch games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would. So, as much as people like Maldonado, I mean, and that's what people like in Maldonado. If you didn't have an emotional attachment to him because he helped you win some championships or whatever, or he's machete, or he's had the big strike him out, throw him out against the, was it the White Sox or Red Sox? I think it was the White Sox.
It was the Red Sox.
It was the Red Sox, yeah. If you didn't have
there.
That, like, moment.
It was huge.
Yeah. If you didn't
but
have,
he's not throwing guys out anymore.
Right, but if you didn't have moments like that, it would be 100-0.
Yeah.
Maldonado would have no backing based on what, like, the only backing you can give him is the emotional backing of a guy who is a veteran who can handle pitchers and, you know, he did this or that in the playoffs. This is a, like, people don't typically grab, it is very much like a quarterback. If you had a quarterback who wasn't very productive, but just kind of just ran the ship and just handed off and, no one would be for the. Everyone wants to see the guy that can make things happen. That's Diaz.
Yeah.
That's Detjeiner Diaz. So I think at some point this year it is going to have to. Dusty's emotion of loving what he does, and maybe even the pitchers too. Maybe Fromber and every other pitcher who loves him on the staff, you're just going to have to say, look, we got a lot of young pitchers pitching. There's a lot of pitchers out this year. Runs are more important right now than having a veteran handle you. We've got to have the guy with the bat. And, yeah, and hopefully they will. And, look, he's a Spanish-speaking catcher. Does that matter with Javier and Fromber and all those guys? I don't know. I mean, I think it helps.
Yeah.
Certainly think it helps to an extent. But I do think at some point Dusty is going to have to just say, I love you, buddy, and you're still going to play some, but we got to make a move. And if you look, to Dusty's credit, Diaz has a lot more starts since Fromber got hurt. He's had like 24 now.
23 since Jordan 24, got hurt.
I mean, since Jordan got hurt. So getting him in the lineup is important, but at some point, keeping the DH open for maybe for Jordan
again,
is going to be important.
You're going to have decisions. There's going to be some big decisions made when Jordan and Altuve are back. And here's another big decision is Corey Jolks. He had 3 hits last night. He's been awesome. He has really been on fire lately, and he deserves to be in the lineup every day. There's a lot of guys. McCormick deserves to be in the lineup every day. Dubon deserves to be in the lineup every day. And Corey Jolks. Corey Jolks with 3 more hits last night. Here he is on why he's been so solid lately at the plate.
You know, just getting comfortable each day. You know, putting in the work for the games and, you know, just trusting myself, trusting the staff, what they tell me, and then just go execute in the game.
Here he is on what the difference is hitting now. And you know what? He's a rookie. So I imagine it's, you know, you're getting more and more comfortable at the plate. Here he is talking about it.
Just a little more focus you know, just working on what I've been working on, trying to make everything a little bit more simple, short to the ball, and not try to do too much when I get my pitch. Just to get.
His OPS is starting to creep up there. He plays a good defense. He's made some big catches for this team. Corey Jolks has been good. Corey Jolks has been really good. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he handles Corey Jolks, how he handles McCormick, how he handles Yiner, how he handles all of these guys once guys get back. And God forbid Michael Brantley gets back. What the hell are you going to do if Michael Brantley gets back? I mean, honestly.
Shut up. When Michael Brantley gets back.
He's coming back, just so you know. He is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not as big a setback. I don't know if you heard Dana, our or the other Dana.
I'm not listening to any of this.
There's one Dana, and there's Dana 1
Chad
and Dana
Bagwell
2.
Chad said he'd be ready opening day. Then it was going to be he's on track. Then he's on. Then he was, we're shutting down. Then we had inflammation after something, so we're going to shut him down. Then he came back. Then we're shutting down baseball activities. I don't want to hear this. Yeah. I don't want to hear it
anymore.
Coming
back.
We're not doing, what do we do when Michael Brantley gets back?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever. What do we do when we get Victor Wembanyama?
We're not getting Victor Wembanyama.
14%. 14% chance of both. Of getting Victor and a 14% chance of Michael Brantley coming back healthy.
You think 14%? That's higher than I thought.
Oh. I mean, I was just trying to make a parallel argument.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So I'm saying there's a. Well, if that's what Dana Brown said.
Speaking of Dana and the university.
Hey, Dana's still got it. By the way, Dana Brown still has to earn some cachet with Astros fans. You know, we welcome him with open arms. But, you know, you got to make – like, we're going to judge you now based on your moves, your signings, your trades. Like, he right now has an open slate. What has he done right now where you give him a plus or a minus? Is there anything? Dana Brown, plus or minus as a GM. Do you have anything in your background like that a GM would have done? You don't have a draft.
We'll find out. One of the things I think Jim Crane didn't like about Click was how he wasn't very aggressive.
Right.
Now, he did make the straw trade, which was pretty darn good.
I mean, he made some smart moves.
He's made some really smart moves. The trade with Seattle to get Montero and Graveman.
I didn't care that he was leaving at all, but I have a little more like after the Bagwell era. I have a little bit more.
The Bagwell month.
Yeah. It felt like an era of moves. After that month, I was like, and then into the season now, we look, I'm like, oh.
No, Click was actually pretty good.
I wouldn't mind a Click coming back now. I was very laissez-faire about it before.
Do you think he'd come back here? I mean, honestly, after he's the first general manager to be fired after a World Series.
Like since the 30s when somebody walked up and slapped the owner or something like that.
No, he didn't slap the owner. I think he slapped one of the players. He slapped the media.
Yeah, it was like.
But he was wasted. He was drunk.
First time in 90 years.
And I don't think Click was drunk I don't think it had anything to do with that. Click was dead man walking.
If it was me
and we won a World Series, I'd be drunk. Okay? And I might have slapped a media member. I don't know. Maybe. But.
What about Sparky after they win a division, after they win the pennant?
He likes Sparky,
but he's a happy drunk, though.
He is a happy drunk, though. He is fun. He's really fun when he gets to doing the interviews in the postgame. So back to University of Houston for a second here. We never even mentioned University of Houston is picked 12th out of 14 teams to finish in the –
I saw the odds for them were, they were tied at least with one, maybe two teams at plus 12,000 to win the conference.
Okay. That's a tough call. I mean, to win the conference, University of Texas should be the favorite.
Well, I mean, Houston.
But the media is always wrong on this thing anyway.
But Houston has a new quarterback with Big 12 experience who won games.
Yeah.
Donovan Smith. They've got some very good wide receivers.
They've got their offensive lineback, but they don't have any depth at their offensive line. They've got, I think defensively is where.
I think defensively they're in for a really, you know, Big 12 they can get it cranked up from time to time offensively. I think that's where Houston's going to have their biggest challenge.
Did you see who was the preseason player of the year?
Is it Quinn?
Nope.
Is it, Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma. Is it Spencer Sanders?
Nope.
Who is it?
It is Jalen Daniels from Kansas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
really
good.
He's one of my favorite college players. And, by the way, I think Jalen Daniels has got a chance to move up Anthony Richardson. I think he's a better Anthony Richardson.
But I don't think he has Anthony Richardson has freakish size and athletic ability.
Jalen Daniels has freakish athletic ability.
How big is he?
He's pretty big, dude.
Is he?
Yeah. No, he's good size. I think Jalen Daniels has a chance to move up drastically.
He's 6'2", 216. That's Baker Mayfield territory. Ain't that big.
I ain't worried about how big he is.
Good player. Yeah, he's a good player. You think he could be in the? What do you think his Heisman odds are? I mean, they have a good coach. You got to win. They have a good coach in Lance Leopold.
Yeah.
I wonder if he will.
Now he's got to stay healthy. He didn't stay healthy last year. But they were off to a what? 6-1, 6-2 start?
Yeah.
With him. And then he got hurt and they didn't win anything after that. But Kansas has got a chance to I mean, they made noise last year. They were that was a good football team while he was out there. I think Kansas has got a chance to make a little bit of noise.
Here's your BetGM Heisman odds right now. Caleb Williams is a big favorite, plus 500, then Jaden Daniels.
LSU?
Really?
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels?
Yeah. Well, they got a chance to win big.
Quinn Ewers, plus 1,000. Jordan Travis, Florida State, 1,200. Bo Nix, 1,200. Drake May, 1,400. Michael Penix, 1,400. I mean, we're talking all quarterbacks, obviously.
Yeah.
Sam Hartman, plus 1,400. Cade Klubnik, he's talented, from Clemson, plus 1,400. J.J. McCarthy of Michigan, 1,800.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks this
Carson
year.
Beck, Joe Milton. Milton's the one that everyone's so pumped on.
So and they were pumped on him at Michigan, too.
But they lost on a couple wide receivers. Yeah, I know. I'm not – I mean, the Joe Milton hype is out of control right now. But to find him, Blake Corum is the – Marvin Harrison Jr. is the first non – man, I'm trying to find – they don't have him in here.
They don't have Jalen Daniels in there?
No, as they get to plus 5,000. I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
No, I think you should at least have him listed. But there's a lot of – boy, college football's got a lot of talented players this year for the for the Heisman Trophy.
I think there's a lot of good – listen, and the Texans have the second pick last year as opposed to next year. It was the same when they got David Carr. The year before was Michael Vick. I mean, it's typical Texans. They're always at the top of the draft. And now this year they're not going to be at the top of the draft unless Cleveland sucks. Did you hear that they had a choice of which draft pick they could give up, the Browns or theirs?
No.
You didn't hear that?
I never heard that. Uh-uh.
Well, is there any reason why they didn't offer the Browns pick as opposed to their own?
No, I'm just sure that what I'm sure happened is Monty Austinfort said, "No, we want yours."
Well, no. You'll take this one. It's a first rounder.
You should have fought.
Along with the 33rd pick. Along with the 12th pick.
Honestly, I don't think the Texans played any chicken at all. I think they backed down on everything.
The 13th pick, the 33rd pick, and a first next year. You could have gotten away with the Browns.
Yeah, I know. I think the Texans. I think there was limited time on the clock, and Monty Austinfort put their feet to the fire and just burn Nick up. And Nick just said, "I got to do this," because they had already decided they were doing it.
They better play well. Those two better play well. Stroud and Anderson had better play well. This is very, and we'll talk about this on the, it's very rocketish if you want to know the truth, how these guys have got to come through for these general managers. They absolutely have to come through for these general managers.
With the disrespect for your boy Jalen Daniels, he's behind DJ Ugalele. He's behind, like,
wow.
Where is he?
DJ.
Here he is. He's behind Jackson Dart, Donovan Edwards, Xavier Worthy from Texas is ahead of Jalen Daniels. Jalen Daniels, plus 10,000, plus 10,000, plus 8,000. When I say plus 10,000, like, that's the max. They don't do anything above that. That is crazy.
I'll take 100 to 1 on Jalen Daniels right now.
That's kind of crazy.
I'll take 100 to 1 right now on Jalen Daniels. All right, let's talk about siding right now, and when we come back, we'll talk about this general manager thing between these two organizations. Go.
Well, Allstate Windows and Siding is about so much more than just, you know, making your house look better, but it does add tremendous curb appeal. The siding, when your wood, if you have wood, it becomes dilapidated. Listen, we're in a highly humid climate, high dew point, and you are going to see the wood start to break down. It's probably already happened. It happened with me at one point where I had to have improvements made on the wood. I had to have corrections. We added a strip of wood to some dilapidated wood, things like that. But I tell you what the big deal is when you have Allstate Windows and Siding, they come in there and do a great siding job. They do it very, very quickly, very clean site. It looks incredible. They're giving big discounts right now for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listeners. Then they get the windows done with no broken glass. You have up to 40% increase in energy efficiency, and your home just looks great and is safer as well with the new windows. Make sure that if you're looking into upgrading your home, that is one area, siding and windows, you should not, discount. I know you're doing stuff on the inside. Think about doing some things on the outside as well that will really pay off. It's allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You do like me.
I just don't like you no more.
You do like me.
I don't.
I'm going to make this fast because John has a tee time and Lance has more NFL work to do. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Trench.
Get in the trench.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You send chills up my spine.
Held the bars. He's kind of gangster, RJ. Did you know that? Hell, don't mess around. You hear the high voice and you think, but don't let it fool you. Man. Don't let it fool you. This is the lick back in the day.
Is that a guy or?
This is a guy.
Yeah.
He's just singing falsetto. Don't let him trick you.
So he can get a lot higher. A guy now today.
He also had a little ducktail.
He did.
Just like you had. Yeah. You were kind of a cross between Ralph Tresvant and El DeBarge in some way.
A little bit, but no, I'm different. So, honestly, is it not almost identical, the Texans and the Rockets right now with the GM situation? How bad does Rafael Stone need Jalen Green to step up? How bad does Nick Caserio need Stingley to step up and Kenyon Green to step up? Mm-hmm. How bad does Rafael need Jabari to take a big step this year?
Yeah.
The free agent signings that they both made are finally free agent signings that they think will help win as opposed to just guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kirksey, now, you know, Perriman and Woods, and they're guys, and Ward.
Well, I think the big difference, though, is one owner is known for being a guy that's going to want results, and the other one is Cal.
Yeah.
And there's different personality to ownership.
Listen, I've been amazed at how patient Tillman has been, though.
Well, okay, here's the difference. Nick Caserio was just named executive vice president to go along with GM. Rafael Stone, I would say, is like, he's got to get something done this year. His job depends on the results of the team, I think. I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I was listening to Cody and Jake yesterday, and they said, you know what? Well, here's the first of all, I think they were a little bit off on this. The Dylan Brooks signing was a knee jerk reaction to not getting Brooke Lopez, and it wasn't. Dylan Brooks was in the plans the whole time, along with Brooke Lopez. They were upset with the Landale signing because it's certainly. They didn't have a backup plan for no Brooke Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And
who was available?
And you could, they felt like you could have reneged on the Dylan Brooks deal because, you know what, you got to do what's best for your team. Look, if you make promises, if you say you're going to do something with a player, just like the Chris Paul signing, boy, I heard behind the scenes, Daryl Morey had to sign Chris Paul because when he brought him over, he made a promise to him. And he had to keep that promise. If you don't keep promises with players when you make a... Now, the player can renege, and we saw Brooke Lopez reneged. We saw...
Well, what do you mean he reneged?
He reneged on, I'm going to come to the Rockets. I'll be there. I'll come.
You know, when was that? The free agency just started.
Yeah, I know. Well, when the free agency started, he said he was going to come, and then he went to the Bucks.
I didn't hear him say that.
Well, I don't know. You never know what's happening behind the scenes. But when free agency started, he said, yes, I'm going to come, and then
thought they had a great shot again.
They thought they had a really good shot. Who was it that signed with a team and then just didn't show up? They made this, you know, and players can do that. Players can do whatever they want in this league, and you got to be okay with it. Teams cannot. You make a pledge to a guy. You tell a guy that you're going to bring him in. You tell a guy that you're going to pay him, and you're going to pay him. you're going to pay him, and you have to keep that promise. Yeah, was Chris Paul, is that legal that you said, hey, Chris, we're going to sign you here? We know. No, it's not legal. But you know what? You're going to keep your word. And Daryl Morey had to keep his word. So you have to bite the bullet. You had no choice on these deals that you have with these guys. And this is not a great free. This was not. It's typical. It's the same as the Texans every year. The Texans get a top pick. These quarterbacks are meh. Next year, if they've got the top pick and they already traded that top pick away, it would be, oh my God, look at what they got.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with this is the Rockets had this year with free agency money, and look at this class.
Yeah, I think Nick could have took a little bit more of a stand, but. You think about what, like, I just don't think, I don't know if Nick Caserio is safe or not, but I do agree that's why I asked you the question a couple days ago. You know, who's, like, I guess who's done the better job, or Nick Caserio
or
Rafael Stone. It's really hard to say because I think both of them are kind of incomplete still. I really do, just because of what you pointed out. Like, we still got to see Jabari. We still have to see if Jalen Green built. You had a little bit of a Steven Silas issue.
And they had a Cully issue. It's almost identical. Listen, they both did a really good job with their trades of their biggest stars. A Deshaun trade was good.
Yeah.
And
James was solid.
James was good.
James was
a good
trade. There wasn't a tremendous amount of leverage.
No.
So I think Rafael ended up, you know, getting what he could for that one.
Absolutely.
I know we could always say the other one with Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, but for what he got, I think it's in the way the Nets have kind of imploded.
And
in
what
some
they
ways.
Wanted to do, if you bring in Jared Allen and you bring in Caris LeVert, you're not going to lose as much as you needed to.
Remember what fans wanted? A lot of fans wanted, and maybe even more than fans, some media thought, you know, the right move is going to Philadelphia and getting Ben Simmons. That was the talk. You remember that, RJ, I'm sure. The talk was about James Harden going to Philadelphia, reigniting the Daryl Morey, James Harden thing, and getting Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons was one of the talks about coming to the Rockets.
I wish, man, and look at where we'd be had
Rafael,
Ben Simmons.
I think Rafael
14%,
yeah,
which is what we ended up 14% to get Wembanyama. Listen, I think they're almost identical situations. What's going on with both of them, and. I think it's now time for both of those guys to start winning. We have to see improvement on the field now. The young guys that they've brought in, both of them, they need to start to see improvement. They need to see some wins start.
But the one big difference, though, is that with Cal, you have new head coaches coming in that are going to have more power, both of them, D'Amico and Udoka. They're going to know different people
that
they may want.
The same situation
a general
in that
manager.
Respect.
But if you ask me who's more likely to stay, it's a huge favorite on Nick Caserio. And I think Nick Caserio, they've already got another job for him. Even if they don't like the job he did as GM, they've got executive vice president there for him, which is more of a football role.
I don't know. Cal's not afraid to get rid of people. He's gotten rid of how many general managers, how many Jack Easterbys, and let's not forget that Nick Caserio was brought in by Jack Easterby.
He could,
and I'm not sure that
they
don't want to separate themselves from that whole deal.
But John, why give him another title if that's the case? Why give him an executive vice president?
Maybe because he's going to move into that, and they're going to bring in a general manager.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I think is going to happen. So he's not leaving the organization.
Well, at some point,
might
have to go.
Now he's got. Look, he's had to pay a lot of additional contracts, dead money.
Yeah.
He may not want to do it with Nick Caserio. But if the Texans perform poorly, I could see another GM coming in with Nick Caserio in this executive vice president role while they pay out his contract.
And then at some point, you got to go.
But I could see Rafael Stone going this year.
Yeah, right.
If things don't go well.
No.
Because Udoka could say, this ain't my guy. I don't know him. Yeah. I'm going to throw another name out there. I'm going to throw it out there again. Dennis Lindsay. Dennis Lindsay got hired in April as the former. He was with the Rockets with Rudy T, Jeff Van Gundy. Then he goes to the Spurs, and he was there. Udoka's first trip with the Spurs was from 07 to 09. That's when Dennis Lindsay was there with Greg Popovich and and R.C. Buford. He was there with those guys.
Yep.
Then he takes over the Jazz and built up the Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell team that had a lot of regular season success. Then Dennis left to become just the team president. He was GM and team president. And then when the new ownership came in, Dennis kind of stepped aside, took his contract, was a consultant. Well, his consulting deal's over. He signed with the Mavericks as a consultant. He's still very sharp. And his son coaches in Grant, or his, yeah, as a director of player development for Grand Valley or something like that, college. But Dennis Lindsay, who has Houston ties, who has ties of being he's been an excellent GM in the past, understands team building. He was in San Antonio with Udoka back in 07, 09.
We don't know how they got along. Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Did
somebody Udoka knows.
Did they ever get into a fist fight? I don't remember.
No.
You don't know that.
Why would he have been in a
fist fight?
Might not
have been reported. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
You don't know.
I'm saying if Udoka's got the juice, which I think he's probably got juice, he could look at a guy with 9 years of experience as GM and president who's had success. He could look at Dennis. I'm just using him as an example because he's on just a consultant gig with the Mavericks. He's done it before. They were on the same organization. So I'm just saying, and this guy has Houston ties. Dennis Lindsay has Houston ties.
Yep. All right, we got a break. 703-780-3776. You got any thoughts on any of this? We will talk about the in-season tournament when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now we're talking about GimmeTheVin.com. I'm just listening to John Clay Wolf on the way in. As a matter of fact, he was on a commercial. He is not going to sell your name and number to other car buyers. He kind of feels like that's kind of stupid, or he's not going to sell it to any kind of other people. If you give him your name and phone number, he has that for himself because he wants to pay you money for your car. He will give you money. He's going to pay fast. He's going to give you more. How about this? He's going to give you more for your car, and he's going to pay you fast. It's going to be an easy process. And, oh, by the way, you can do it through the dealership as well. So all the taxes and all of that stuff, you don't have to put the down payment on the taxes. You still do all of you do the transaction through your dealership. That's what John Clay Wolf does. He makes this about as easy as it possibly can be. So it couldn't have been an easier process for me. I got my check right away. Sold my car. Here's the car. Give me my check. Bing, bing, bing. It's done. And John Clay Wolf paid me more than anybody else would have. And he will pay you more than anyone else will too. Because that's what he does. And he says, if I can't beat CarMax, I'm going to give you $100. And he beats CarMax every single time. So if you're looking for the best way to sell your car, there's one place that you have to go to find out what it's worth. It's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
That song belongs to me!
Are we really sure? Can a love that lasted for so long still endure? Do I?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the dynamic duo who make up the trench.
Get in the trench.
John and Lance.
That's right. That's where that sample comes from.
What? You got another one? All right. In-season tournament. So you're going to have four games this year that are designated in-season tournament games. They're going to have... I'm not going to poo-poo this thing. Because it's going to put more significance on certain games. You're going to be in your pod. There's going to be three pods in each conference. You're going to play four games. Four games are chosen by a random draw based on teams' winning percentage the previous season. Advantage Spurs, since they were one of the poorest teams and they got a good player and improved drastically. And I think maybe Rockets too. Rockets were one of the worst teams in the league and they improved, we think, to the point where they could be actually middle of the pack or play-in possibilities, which they weren't the last 3 years. They haven't been even close. So you're going to have six groups. The winner of each group move into the knockout stage along with two wild cards who finish with the best winning percentage. Mm-hmm. And that tournament is going to be in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be...
So I like that in-season games count towards that.
Yes.
You're not doing anything crazy.
An asterisk next to them that they are in-season tournament
games. And fans may pay more attention to
those games. They will pay more attention to them.
And then your tournament is December 7th and December 9th are the two games. Semifinals, 7th, 9th is the finals. They already have the Commissioner's Cup, or I think it's Commissioner's Cup is what it's called, in the WNBA. They did that this year. They already had that. So, and they used in-season games as a determining factor. In international soccer, they play a separate tournament.
Yes. Well,
They can play tournament games in season and then go right back to their regular schedules.
What would be neat is if, and it couldn't be, like Champions League is spectacular because you've got all those different leagues in Europe that are equal. They're club teams that are, you know, comparable. What would be neat if there were different leagues in different countries that you could do this with?
Well, this is FA Cup is what this is, where you have all the teams, you know, you have the teams in England playing for the FA Cup, and it's a big deal. Like, you can be low teams. Wrexham was
there. Yes.
You can be low-level teams and still play for the FA Cup. You know, some teams don't play their best players all the time in some of the FA Cup games, some of the higher-end teams. But it actually matters to them. Like, FA Cup matters, which is hard for me to get my – it was hard for me to get my head around. Like, why do they care about these in-season tournament like the FA Cup? Who cares? And then as explained to me, look, it's years and years of tradition.
Yeah.
And it's a chance for you to play for lower – for teams who are not in one of the top six teams, top eight teams, to actually play for something, that it gives them something to shoot for when they know they're not going to win, you know, they're not going to win the season long, they're not going to finish first, they're not going to get into Champions League. This gives them a chance to play for FA Cup. That's the same thing this is. You may have a team like Washington Wizards or, you know, an up-and-coming team who's not quite there yet. Maybe like the Rockets. You know, your Rockets fans, it gives them something. You know, you want to compete for a chance to get into the play-ins for the playoffs, but how cool would it be if the Rockets ended up in the Final Four because they're winning their regular season games against the teams in their pod?
Even the Final Eight. Even the Final Eight would be nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're winning against teams in their pod.
Right.
It's something extra you can look at.
Yep. You know, you got to get through the groups. And listen, I think it's going to be – it will add more interest because those games, those four games that'll have asterisks next to them – will be more important.
Did you
they
see the game other than the finals? The final four game counts towards your player stats.
Yes,
but the final does not.
Right.
So that could be 80. So it would be what, 83 games that somebody could play in a year. No one's going to actually play 83 games anymore. But theoretically, somebody could play 83 games.
Yeah.
In a regular season.
Well, right. But, yeah, and those stats are going to –
all right,
who
here's
cares
the
about
question.
The stats?
Over under a half, will Zion Williamson ever play – it's a half, Noah's minus 250 – ever play in a tournament game?
Whoa.
In an NBA a Commissioner's Cup tournament game? 0.5, over under. Noah's minus 250, yes is plus 180.
Even in the group stage or in the
– no. I'm giving him group stage. I mean, I shouldn't give him group stage, but I'm saying, will he ever make it into a semi? Will he ever play in Las Vegas under the guise of the tournament? Will he ever play in a game?
I don't think so.
In his career?
Going, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Noah's the favorite.
See,
he's got to A, be healthy, be on a team that gets into the Final Four.
And then they got to get into the Final Four.
Yeah.
Right. No. The answer is no.
No.
The answer is no. 858 ESPN.
Will LeBron?
That's a good question. I mean, he's getting older now.
I know.
And are the Lakers going to be good enough to get there? Yeah, they're going to be good enough to get there. Yeah. LeBron will. He's going to have to do it these 2 years. He's going to have to do it. Well,
he's in the West, dude.
Yeah. How good is he going to be?
Oh, wait. No. Does the West, is it going to matter? Is it going to be done like that in terms of pods and.
Yes.
The pods are going to be interconference?
It's going to be.
It shouldn't be.
Three pod.
Well, you have to get the. Because you have two home, two away. I mean, it'd be kind of cool if it wasn't done. By
I don't
conference.
Know how they're. It's going to be. No, it's going to be a random draw by because you will play those. I don't know how that's going to work. We'll find out. We're going to find out tomorrow night. We are going to find out tomorrow night. Tonight we're going to find out how good the Rockets are. How good Amen is. They play tonight, 6 o'clock in Las Vegas.
Doubleheader: Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore go. And Tari Eason and Jabari Smith.
Under over there. On Amen Thompson points tonight.
I'll go 5.5.
I was going to say 6.5. He's got to score more than 6 points.
Well, I don't know. He's not a very good shooter. He's got a great layup package.
He's got a great layup package?
Yep.
That's not a pack. That's what?
It's a package.
That's I don't want to talk about his package. I'm talking about him scoring points in an NBA game. He's going to score more than 6 points. Yes, over. I'm taking over. He's going to score more than 6 points.
What about I didn't say 6.5. I just said 5.
Cam Whitmore, what's his under-over? I think higher.
Can't remember. A lot of players are going to play.
Yeah.
So that's why I put the number.
Though. I think I'm going to want to see the
Cam numbers. Whitmore can hit a three. I'm going to put Cam Whitmore at the same number, 5.5.
Over. Both of them are going to score over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's going to be a lot of scoring. Okay, I'll move them both to 6.5. You like 7 for both?
Yeah, I'm going over.
Okay.
I'm going over. I think Cam will score double digits.
Okay, Jabari Smith, I'm going 12.5.
Over.
All right, I'm going to go Tari Eason, 11.5.
Over.
So, you got every Houston player over on a prop. I don't know that you've ever said under on a player. You almost said under today.
I never said under.
You almost said under today. Don't, you thought about it for a second.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
And then you
don't
went
put that
over
evil
again
under,
on all
evil
of the,
on me.
See, people think you're negative about some of the Houston, the local teams. You're mm-hmm. not.
Yeah.
You're not. You always are very hopeful at the beginning of the season. Did people who call you negative put money on the Texans to go to win 5 games last year?
No.
You did. You didn't play under. You played over.
I played over.
You
I'm
played
stupid.
Money. You put actual money on your teams to do well.
And I'll never do that again.
You had Deshaun Watson 50 touchdowns 1 year.
I did.
I really did. So I'm saying you're actually a much more positive person than people give you credit for.
Time for the break right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.573.
Once again, John Granato, you should have, there it is, right there.
Uh-huh. Hope.
You hope. See that poster, the John Granato hope poster on the back?
Yep.
That's why you have that, because you're like, over.
Over.
Over. Cam Whitmore, over. Jabari, over.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. No. Yeah, that's right.
Seasons, Rafael Stone, over 1.5 seasons to go.
Over.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what, see? Look at that. We got a break. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm an idea man, Chuck.
This is Bill. Idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper.